Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with our bloggers as well as other top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman, and I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national PR firm behind online feature magazine sensation JenningsWire.com, a community of bloggers that share their personal experiences and wisdom gained throughout their lives. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that's just right for you. And today's guest says that the latest neuroscience research shows us that falling in love affects the brain exactly the same way as cocaine, and it can be just as addictive. Ethelie Ann Baer, author of Love Addicts, Sex, Romance, and Other Dangerous Drugs, had the bad luck to get addicted to both and the good sense to recover. She's here to share some tips for spotting an infatuation junkie or relationship addict, and it could even be you, and then learning how to heal. So welcome, Ethelie. Thanks for being here.
Stacey, thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's our pleasure. And I think the first question, and maybe the one on top of everyone's mind, is that everyone needs love in their life. I mean, I think as a species, you seek out love. So how can you be addicted to it if it's something that we innately need?
Well, we innately need food, and yet we certainly know lots of people who have very unhealthy relationships to food and have to go through a lot of effort to find normal parameters and a healthy way to eat. So I really feel that love addiction should be compared to food addiction rather than to gambling addiction or drug addiction insofar as how to heal from it. You want to have relationships, but you want to not be clutching someone's ankle as they're desperately trying to run out of the room, dragging you behind them. You know, you want to have a sex life. You do not want to run up tens of thousands of dollars of bills at the local massage parlor. So you have to find something that is healthy for you and then live within those parameters. And it's hard because we have a culture that says that, yes, love is all you need. Love makes the world go round. A man without love is half of a man, and a woman is nothing at all. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad information about the importance of sex, love, and romance in our lives. So it's a complex subject.
And you know what? It really is. And I know that you talk about the addict brain. And so is there really something like that? And is that something that would impact someone, whether it's a food addiction or a love addiction or gambling or drugs?
Absolutely. And the more they're discovering about brain structure, and as you know, this is a very hot topic right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With executive orders saying we have to understand more about how the brain works, they're discovering that the actual physical white matter and gray matter of addict alcoholic brains is different from that of the so-called normie. What I can really relate to is the sense of our reward centers are impacted. People who are prone to addiction have a dopamine system, which is the neurotransmitter most in charge of anticipation and pleasure and the expectation of a payoff, more so than the payoff itself. You know how thinking about how that chocolate cake is going to taste is always better than the cake itself actually tastes, and then you need
right.
more cake and,
so,
and more
and
cake
not,
and more because it never quite does it for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then the feeling after is terrible.
Yes. And so the first thing you want to do is then numb it with something, usually cake, but or sex, you know, or
right.
waiting for that phone call, the anticipation of anybody who has even a touch of love addiction can relate to the anticipation of that phone call, that waiting, that anxious, busy brain, monkey chatter, waiting for that phone call to come, and that feeling of relief when you hear that voice, that's brain chemistry. That's an addictive reaction. It's totally physical. And it's because our reward centers are, they're not working right. And what we do is we overstimulate them with more falling in love and more conquering sexually. And I call it the neural cow path. We start cutting these brain habits in. So that we go right from anticipation, reward, you know, it's like instant gratification, not fast enough, you know,
right.
And But it's hard to get out of that groove. We have to jump out of that groove. It's almost like retraining a brain after a stroke.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this question, Ethelie. Can you give our listeners who may not even have a clue that we're talking about them right now, right? I mean, there could be people out there that are living this and are oblivious to the fact that they are hanging on anxiously, in agony, waiting for that phone call, like you said. Are there signs that you yourself could be a love addict and don't even know it?
Well, yes. Sometimes love addiction is best noticed when you're withdrawing from the love, when you're curled up on the couch, where there's, you know, like nothing in the world matters. You have no appetite, or you can't do anything but eat, and you can't sleep, or you can't get up, and you're just the misery, the pain of it is, I think most people can relate to that, curled up in the fetal position on the floor because right. The phone won't ring. But some of the things when we think it's going right, we should look at little things like, do you check his Facebook page before you check your Facebook page? Do you check out all the other women that he's friends with to see what interactions they have had? When you call, do you leave a second message in case he didn't get the first one, or he's shy, or he lost your number, or, you know, maybe you forgot to leave a number, or maybe he called and you missed it? And have you ever changed your route home to pass someone's house? Have you ever come into the office early to give a special smile to a special someone, or stayed late at the office to give a special smile to a special someone? Or have you ever used up time at your desk on Match.com or Plenty of Fish or OkCupid or XXXX?
Right. So basically, it's when you revolve your entire day around either this person, around the possibility of a person, or
and the fantasy,
or that.
I mean, wrapped up in fantasy. And then we don't think about the nasty things we're doing. Like, you know, it's really not okay to read someone else's email or to check their voicemail. That's actually not okay.
That's irrational behavior. Now, you know, in thinking about that, do you feel, or can you tell our listeners, if there are more, or is there more than one type of love addict?
Yes. From my research and my experience, I've decided that there are three basic types of sex and love addiction. It's not two. It's not sex addiction or love addiction. And people tend to think that men are sex addicts and women are love addicts, and well, they're constantly chasing one another in this vicious cycle. I really think there's three main categories, and it is based on different brain chemicals. There's the infatuation addict, someone who's just intoxicated by that feeling of just falling for someone. That isn't that the most magical, effervescent feeling of just beginning to fall in love? That's, of course, anybody would love it. It's when you distort your whole life to keep recreating it. Because if what you like is falling in love, after about 6 months or so, you're done. It's hard to have a good long-term relationship when what you really like is just the falling in love, when the being in love is kind of boring. And then there's the relationship junkie, who's all about the being in love, all about keeping that relationship together. Even if he, hits you occasionally or cheats on you occasionally or maybe drinks too much. But no, you must keep that bond. You can't imagine living without this person. And then there's the sex addict, who's all about the conquest and the chase and the payoff of the chase. So that's not relationship oriented at all. In fact, half the time sex addicts don't involve other people in their disease. It's pornography and it's fantasy and obsession. So I think it's those three basic types, but they can interchange. You know, the relationship junkie can get so tired of the abuse that they'll go out and conquer, you know, and get stuck in that side of the triangle.
Right. So if they are bouncing around from one type of love addict or second love addict to another, is there anything that they can do to heal themselves? Can they actually attract a healthy relationship into their life? Or what type of work do they need to do before they even attempt that?
Well, the interesting thing is that once you start looking at these behaviors as an addiction, similar to alcoholism or similar to drug addiction, you can start to treat it in the same way that's been so successful with other modalities of treating addiction. If it's just looking at, you know, oh, I need to read the rules of how to get a good relationship, that's not going to help if you actually have a brain disease. So you need to address it with, well, there are many 12-step groups that have grown up around this. Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, Sex Addicts Anonymous, Love Addicts Anonymous, Sexual Compulsives Anonymous, just as the Alcoholics Anonymous program has been so effective on drugs and alcohol. These programs can be very effective for love and sex addicts. There's also therapy that's, you know, cognitive therapy that's directed specifically to addiction. There are also some psychopharmaceutical interventions that can be helpful. Love addiction is a lot like obsessive compulsive disorder as far as how it makes us have this like circular thinking and constant obsessive thoughts. So it can be treated similarly. But in the end, it usually comes down to the same old, you know, meditation, self-care, esteem building through estimable acts. You treat love addiction the same way you treat alcoholism. And it's amazing that it works.
Well, you know what, Ethel, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining us here today on the Jennings Wire podcast series. And for all of our listeners, you can get more information about screenwriter, lecturer, and author of Love Addict, Sex, Romance, and Other Dangerous Drugs from HCI Books, Ethel Anvair. Please visit her site, www.affectiondeficitdisorder.com, which I think is extremely clever. Again, that's Affection Deficit Disorder, where she is also available to answer your questions about sex and love addiction. And again, Ethel, thank you so much for an informative interview.
Oh, Stacey, thanks for having me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And everyone, this podcast is brought to you by Jennings Wire Online Magazine. Please visit JenningsWire.com as well to discover bloggers that might be perfect for you. Thanks again. Bye-bye.